Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The angel brings a message of hope in the midst of fear of the unknown. In the spring of 2020, our world was overturned by an unseen enemy. Our lives were changed and disrupted, and done so by a virus we all still don't agree about. But in 2020, the sickness increased, the hospitals overflowed, medical personnel strained to hold up under the staggering load of care. And then we came to 2 weeks to bend the curve. 2 weeks became 2 months, 2 months became almost a year. But that's not the first time that history's taken a hard left or a hard right, where we just sort of hung on for dear life. 9/11 put us on a 20-year war footing. Pearl Harbor, the sinking of the Lusitania. War always seems to come suddenly, and yet it's horribly predictable. Joseph lived with his own fear of his own unknown. In our current culture, an unexpected pregnancy is a minor setback at best sometimes. But for Joseph, and even for modern people, for Christians, Jews, Stoics, moralists, traditionalists, it is and still is a much more serious dilemma. You see, Joseph is betrothed to this lovely young woman named Mary. And in that day, that was a legal arrangement. He is legally married to this woman with their union to be consummated later. It would be about a year before the final celebration, and their marriage would become real and binding in the eyes of everyone. Joseph surely dreamed of a wonderful life with his new wife, possibly even a large family supported by a thriving carpentry business in Nazareth, which is a bedroom community of a very rapidly growing Cana, of which a city in which the Romans are simply dumping money and projects into. All of these dreams come into serious question when Mary is found to be with child, verse 18. She's pregnant. Joseph knows full well that he is not the father, but what should he do about it? A future with Mary is now fraught with sociological complications. He could cancel the marriage. The problem is, it's not really that simple. You see, the Old Testament law required an adulterous woman to be stoned if her guilt was confirmed. Stoning didn't always result in death, but sometimes it did. Sometimes people went overboard. And the Romans really, really didn't like that. As we've talked about a number of times before, the Romans reserved the death penalty for themselves. It's not that they had any problem with the death penalty. They just thought they were the only people who should be able to do it. Citizens killing other citizens in the streets, that's something that brings a great deal of pain into. But there is still going to be something done, which is unthinkable to a woman that he loves. I think that's an important point. Joseph loves Mary still, very much. So he resolves to put her away quietly. Hopefully, if this is able to work, it would spare both of them a public beating in the street and all of the rigmarole that's going to go with it. You see, Joseph, he's a just man. He's unwilling to put Mary to shame. So he resolves to divorce her quietly. The shame might be avoided, as well as the punishment for the unfaithfulness. Again, I believe the purpose for all of this is because he loves her still. This is how she ends up in Elizabeth and Zachariah's house in the hill country of Judea. She has gone to visit her cousin. Back in the 50s, we used to say they were studying abroad. Where's Sarah? Well, she's in Europe for the year. Good for Sarah. Joseph is deliberating. He's considering these things. And the Lord appears to him in a dream. Special divine messenger from heaven. And in a very needed time, as we can see the first words of the angel, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. You see, the issue here is really not parenthood. It's fear. Joseph's struggling with his fear. And in the Greek, this word can carry the connotation of panic, of terror. He's terrified. He doesn't have any really good options. I mean, he's fearful of going forward with this wedding to this woman whom he loves. He's also fearful about having her exposed to hardship and ridicule and possibly being beaten to death in the street. It terrifies him. He's fearful of having her discovered. He's fearful of being discovered. He's fearful of leaving her in Judea with distant cousins. Who knows what's going to happen there? Friends and neighbors, and probably anybody that understands what's going on, expects him or pressuring him probably to divorce her, and maybe to do it publicly and loudly. And what about his own reputation, his own responsibility as a thriving businessman in Nazareth? How in the world is this supposed to play out well for anyone? Undoubtedly, he has even more painful questions that aren't addressed in our text, like, why has she done this to me? Who is this guy? Where is he? Is he going to show up? Is he going to take a role in this? Do I know him? Is he ever going to be able to trust this woman again? These are the things that keep Joseph up at night. It is a heavy burden of worry. In a time when he should be excited about the future, eagerly planning and building a home, he's terrified. Of all of these things, many of which he doesn't even have any control. You see, fear is the enemy of hope. You see, fear robs us of God's grace, that God has a plan even in the presence of darkness that we don't understand. In places where we don't have any hold, where we don't have any control. God's solution to Joseph's fear, however, is not just the assurance that all things might work out, but that it must have been surprising at the amazing promise that he hears from this angel. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. What an amazing word of promise. This is going to happen. She is going to have this child of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to marry her, and you're going to call him Jesus. That's the name you're going to give your son from Mary. And this Jesus means that he will save his people from their sins. Mary's not just pregnant. The child in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. God is the Father, and the name that he is instructed to give this new child may seem ordinary. It's a relatively common Hebrew name. Yet on the other hand, it's a prophetic of something incredible, world-changing. Joseph was to name this child Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. For he will save his people from their sins. Here, Joseph is concerned about his immediate personal circumstances. He's concerned about his reputation. He's concerned about Mary's welfare. He's concerned about his own questions as well. And yet God is planning something significantly grander than he would have ever put his own finger upon. God is planning to deliver all of mankind from sin and death and how all of this took place in order to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. As the story unfolds in the Gospels, we see that this is not the end of the challenges that poor Joseph has to face. This is just the beginning of the challenges. As we see the Gospel story unfold, he has to wrap up his business, probably sell his home, maybe even have to finish that home and then sell it. He's got to get Mary from Elizabeth and Zachariah's house, get down to Bethlehem for the census. How convenient was that, right? That God would put it on the heart of a Roman emperor in Rome someplace. That we need a numbering of people because we need taxes, which gives Joseph and Mary someplace to flee to and a really good reason to be there. Jesus is born in a cattle stall, but we see from the text that 8 days later, he's in his circumcision. They are in a house. When the wise men come 6 to 8, 9, maybe even 1 year later, they're already in a house. When Herod orders the death of the children in Bethlehem, he starts with 2 and under, presumably according to the numbers that he gets from the wise men, because they see his star rise when he's born. They do the math. Jesus probably anywhere from 9 months to maybe even a year old by then. So he doubles or even triples the number to make sure he gets all of these children. My point is, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they now live in Bethlehem. And had it not been for Herod's mass infanticide, they might not have ever gone into Egypt. They might never well have made it back to Nazareth. But God had it under control. God knew what they didn't, even in the midst of terror and darkness and misunderstanding. So much in Joseph's life's changed, and it changed fast. I mean, just whirlwind change. So many unknowns. How could he have possibly entertained any real hope for tomorrow when he hardly knew what was going on today? And yet God was with him. Late into the pandemic, our world sort of tried to reemerge from our caves. In some places, they're still trying, actually. China, I remember, they're still trying to get out of their apartments in China. The economy has wobbled at best. City folk and suburban folk have definitely different ideas on how we should proceed. It's hard to worry about tomorrow when we can't agree upon today. The world shifts under our feet. We worry about our children. We worry about our future. We worry about our own future in this current age. And so I direct you back unto God's message from the heavenly throne room itself. The angel addresses you. The one born of Mary is Yahweh saves. This one is given to deliver you from your sins and certain death. Therefore, do not fear. Because your hope is grounded in this real promise from the throne of God that Jesus Christ is with you. Do not be afraid. He is your Emmanuel. Your hope is grounded in this promise. As Paul declares to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 31 and 39, no one can stand us against us if God is for us. No one can frustrate God's plans. Not Herod, not the worst of tyrants that the world has ever seen, not the terrorists, not the enemies. No one can bring a charge against us. Not even Satan can bring charges against us. For God has declared us righteous through Christ Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. He is with us now and forevermore. And no one can condemn us because Jesus intercedes for us. No one can separate us from the love of Christ. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not danger. Certainly not terror. Certainly not fear. For in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. The angel's message of hope to Joseph in the midst of his fear gives us hope as we fear our own unknowns. A hope that cannot be disappointed. A hope that's grounded in God's promises for us. A hope that survives time itself. It is an eternal hope. It is a message of the angels from God to us. And it survives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.